You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
What a woman will do generally is have a mindset that I'll marry him and I'll change him. Whereas men generally have a mindset, I'll marry her and I want her to stay the same. And most of those relationships, in my experience, have not ended well.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
Well, welcome to Momentum for this week. It is really great to have you tuning in wherever you may be around Australia and actually potentially the world as well if you're listening on the podcast, which is very, very cool. But locally, our website is momentumaustralia.org. If you're in Australia, you can find that and give us some feedback, maybe ask a question or two. You can listen to all of our previous shows. And look, if you feel inclined to financially support Momentum, we'd love to have your support. It does go all around Australia and help men all around Australia too, as does our Momentum care line, by the way. And if you need a confidential chat with someone, you can do that 7 days a week between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. 1-800-000-MEN. That's 1-800-000-636 for the Momentum care line. And also, just want to let you know that we have just launched our very own YouTube channel. You'll find us by searching for Momentum for Men in YouTube.
And we're going to be uploading a whole bunch of our previous shows so that not only can you hear Momentum, but you'll be able to see Momentum, Tim and I, and whoever our guest is, each week by checking out our brand new YouTube channel.
Des, I'm not sure that this is a good idea they get to see us. But anyway, if they want to, they can search Momentum for Men in YouTube. And while you're there, don't forget to like, subscribe, and send to some of your mates as well. Of course, I'm very rarely alone in doing Momentum. And my good friend, the legend that is Des Kennedy, is with us again, once again this week. How are you?
It's good to see you. I'm really good, thanks. I hate being called a legend because by my definition, legends are dead. And I'm not quite there yet. So, you know, we want to talk about our guest today. And we've got an amazing subject. You know, our guest, I've known this gentleman for quite some time, for many years, in fact. And he's been a leader all the time I've known him as a pastor. He's now known as a speaker, an author. He's a great storyteller. He's just an all-round great guy, and he spent time lecturing in leadership colleges all around Australia and Asia. The first time we met him on Momentum, we talked about one of his books, which was The Man Book, and a lot of you listeners will remember that, a book designed specifically for men to help them in the area of relationships. And a very simple book, if I can say that, but very, very effective.
Yeah. And, you know, relationships are something that he's got a wealth of knowledge in. He's been successfully married for, well, longer than some of us have actually been alive. He's got a bunch of kids and an even bigger bunch of grandkids. And it is our great pleasure once again to have Brian Andrew with us on Momentum. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Tim and Des. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I know that in previous episodes, man, we've had some very honest, real conversations with you, and we appreciate your authenticity. And I know that from the feedback that we get, guys who've listened to the shows absolutely will agree with that. And, you know, today's topic is perhaps a little sensitive as well. We do like to go there on Momentum because, again, if we're not talking about it or we're not talking about it in church, you know, someone's got to be talking about it. So we kind of pick up the banner. We're talking about being unequally yoked today. What does that actually mean and how does that apply into our lives? And, you know, there are many verses in the Bible that address the idea of being unequally yoked, but I think there's only one that says it directly, and that's 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, which in the NIV says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness?" So I think, I guess the starting point, Brian, is in simple terms, what does it mean? Let's start with to be yoked to someone, and then we'll come back to the point of being unequally yoked. But what does that word yoked mean?
In the context of that teaching, there was a reference to a, you know, an agricultural or rural setting where you'd have a couple of ox that would be joined together with a wooden kind of frame who would then, you know, carve up a field or pull a load. And if you have a large one and a small one, they're going to end up going round and round in circles. And so being unequally yoked, or yoked, is to work together to achieve a common goal. Unequally yoked means that goal's not going to be achieved because there needs to be size parity, for example.
Yeah, right. So in the context of the verse, what do you think it's referring to?
Well, I think it generally referring to our faith, our beliefs as a Christian, and being yoked is it's a covenant, it's a commitment, it's a sharing of life. It's a big deal. You know, it's a very significant part of our life. So I think being equally yoked means we share values and priorities, our spiritual life. So they're kind of yoked. And unequally yoked, of course, is where you get people of different beliefs and behaviors.
So it obviously doesn't just apply to marriage. It applies to lots of areas in life, I guess. You know, most people in the Christian context would refer specifically to marriage, but, you know, what other areas of life would it apply to?
I think the one that comes to mind in particular is business. And I've always had a sort of a soft heart for people in business. I think they are underestimated in terms of the stress that they have to carry, but also there's an overestimate, you know, estimating that they've got a whole lot of money in their pocket. And often they don't. They might be, cash flow poor and asset rich. But I think definitely in the area of business and in conversations I've had with business people over the years, I've suggested, because I'm not a business professional myself, I never pretend to have expertise where I don't. But I've suggested that if you own a business and you want to bring someone in to share in terms of owning a part of the business, that you should always have a majority, of, say, the shares or the value or whatever it may happen to be, so that if there is conflict and difficulty, which there always is, you've got the casting vote if you're the owner, the vision carrier of that business.
And I guess it also applies to where you have a business partner and you're of faith and you've got a Christian worldview and you're bringing somebody in to be a business partner, it is much better that that person would have a similar worldview.
Theoretically, theologically, biblically, absolutely, yes. But honesty is a part of what we're doing here. Sometimes people say, well, I've got someone I brought onto my staff or into my business because they said they were a Christian, but they behave badly, and I've got some non-Christians who behave better, and I'd rather have a good employee or business partner who's not a Christian than someone who says they're a Christian but lets the team down.
Yeah,
it's quite a dilemma. It's a dilemma for many.
Mm. I mean, in that case, then let's say that that's an exemption, right, from the being equally yoked, right? In business, it can work, and we've all got those experiences, or have friends who've had that experience where they've partnered with a Christian, it hasn't worked well, you know, it's fractured the relationship or left someone burnt or, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, there's people listening right now that will have walked that scenario, but I think let's come back to the marriage piece, because that is where, when we say unequally yoked, I mean, that's where you started, Brian, and that's where we kind of wanted to delve into initially for the show. So let's talk about that. Do you think that there's an exception to that instruction when it comes to marriage? You know, is it okay to be unequally yoked, or down the track, does it just cause more problems than it's worth?
Well, when we were chatting earlier, I mentioned 40-something years at the coalface. It so often ends badly when a Christian marries a non-Christian. And I think even some of the best marriages where somebody's, say, married a non-Christian, and I've got to know them after that, they'll say, look, we really get on well and we love each other, but I often find there's a sadness because it's less than. And so we might share the physical environment. We might share, the recreation. We might share all kinds of things, and we might have similar parenting values. But I can see a particular person's face. She was very gracious as she was explaining to me that the marriage is essentially healthy, but there was an emotion, a sentiment expressed that it's less than what I dreamed for and hoped for and prayed for.
Interesting.
Because you have a whole chunk of your life and a very, very important part of your life, which is your spiritual life. And that's something you're not sharing with your partner. Isn't that the reflection?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's right. And if this is one of the things when we start talking about this topic is define a Christian. It throws that up. As I was praying and thinking about this and doing a bit of research, looking at some notes, I thought, you know, define a Christian. Because, see, some people say they're Christians, but they're what I would call a cultural Christian.
Okay.
And if you raise it with them, and they say, well, I was born in Australia. I'm a Christian. Hey, you know, that's their, because they were born here, they say they're a Christian. But really, I think, what is a kingdom Christian?
Yeah.
A kingdom Christian is very different from a cultural Christian. And a kingdom Christian can be identified because really, in some measure, they look like Jesus. You know, there's the attitude, the behavior, the mindset of Jesus. And let's not forget, he wasn't a passive, safe person. He was a radical, challenged the status quo person. So we're not talking about just a pastel kind of person, colorless, bland, black and white, you know, but yeah. So I think defining a Christianism really important. When relationships start, this is often part of the conversation.
And so people who, let's go to the dating side of things, people, you know, say, you know, I'm going to date this person because I'm really attracted to this person. You know, I can help them find faith, you know, through our relationship. And you hear that story, you know, quite often because they're enamored with this person. What would you say to somebody like that?
Well, again, I've been involved in many conversations over decades in this regard. And look, in my earlier years and over the years, there have been occasions when I have said, in good conscience, I cannot marry you two. Which generally doesn't go down too well. But I think if you've established a relationship with the people and you explain where you're coming from and you've got the love of Jesus in your heart, people kind of get it. And I think of some of the women, for example, who would say, well, I know he's not a Christian, but I'm still going to marry him. And I don't recommend it. I think what a woman will do generally is have a mindset that I'll marry him and I'll change him. Whereas men generally have a mindset, I'll marry her and I want her to stay the same because she's gorgeous, you know, and I want her to be always young and gorgeous or whatever. So, and most of those relationships in my experience have not ended well. To be honest, a lot of relationships where both of them were church going, Bible reading Christians, they haven't ended well either. So I think we've got to put everything on the table, you know.
Brian, let's stay with the dating stage for a moment before we get into the second part of the show and perhaps start looking at some other scenarios. But let's stick with the dating thing for a moment and go, when we start dating, and let's just say for the sake of argument, you know, we both profess to be Christians, right? What sorts of conversations would you suggest having, specifically targeting, I suppose, this idea of, well, what sort of Christian are you? You know, and I mean, when you're initially just in that, you know, first beginnings of relationships, because that's important, right? I mean, and a lot of us would at some stage use that to kind of test the water a bit to go, do I want this to go further? Is this a wise choice even pursuing this? So in that sort of stage, let's just say that people are in that stage, what sorts of conversations or questions would be good to kind of discuss at that moment?
You know, I have to say that I find it quite disappointing at times that by the time someone comes to see a pastor or a counselor, they've gone a fair distance along the relationship and given themselves emotionally. And I think there's a general awareness that when we start off a relationship, there's often an infatuation or some would say we move into the zone of temporary insanity. You know, we put our rational mindset up on a shelf somewhere. We overlook the things that we think are cute, but after a while become annoying and eventually a source of resentment. But look, I think the kind of questions ought to come naturally out of our own faith. And I know our emphasis, I think our emphasis is kind of more on women who are in this situation, but I'm sure you guys are aware there's a phenomenal number of single, lonely men. It's not just a female thing, but anyway, I think the kind of questions, I actually say to people, if it's to a woman, I'll say, for example, how does this man treat his mother? You know, how does he speak about his mother? Because that's quite a good indicator of how this could go. What church are you a part of, or what Christian community are you a part of? These are the kind of questions, and certainly the observations around priorities, like how is money spent? Is there discipline, or is it just spent? Is drinking modest, so it's a wine here and there, or is it too much drink? Is there excess? It's things like that. And are they part of an authentic Christian community? Therefore, there ought to be people that they know. What are their friends like? Meet their friends. If you can, meet their family. Ask those questions, because it's just, I'm thinking of one couple right now where they were both training to be professional people, and he was a Christian and she wasn't. And he wanted to date her. He found out she wasn't a Christian, and so he invited her to come to church. And she said, I'm not going to church. I don't want to go to church. But as the relationship started to develop, she eventually said, okay, I'll go to church, but I'm not necessarily going to believe what you believe. Look, anyway, this one had a good outcome. This couple found me online, came and asked me to do their wedding. And I said, well, where are you now? And she said, well, I'm now a Christian.
Wow.
Well, I asked her to define that. And she said, well, it's not just going to church, you know, she told the pastor, you know. she said, I went to church and I discovered that I needed a savior. So I accepted Jesus as my savior and I'm baptized. It was a great joy for me to baptize them.
Of course.
And so there are those good stories like that. But questions around community, attitudes, priorities, values, even more directly, if your faith is really strong, describe Jesus or something like that. What do you think of Jesus? It's so important to try and bring these up before you get infatuated with affection and, you know, adventures.
Some really good advice to end the first part of the show on. We're talking about being unequally yoked this week with Brian Andrew, our special guest once again. As we take a short break, MomentumAustralia.org is our website. We're going to come back and explore some more scenarios of being unequally yoked in the second part of this week's Momentum. Hang around, stay tuned. We'll talk to you soon.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Okay, well, welcome back to part two of this week's Momentum. It is another juicy topic, shall we say, of being unequally yoked. And it's Tim and Des with you and our special guest, Brian Andrew, this week. And, you know, we specifically chose, kind of targeted Brian a little bit because we know that he's got a lot of his experience in this area and a lot of wisdom as well around something.
Not personal that is, experience, we should say.
No. wisdom, I said, and experience in this area of helping people along the journey of marriage and life and relationships, and certainly those who are unequally yoked. And Brian, you know, in the break you were just saying off air that, you know, traditionally there is a shortage of good, in inverted commas, Christian men. You know, it seems to be that, you know, there's some factors involved into why people partly, shall we say, compromise or settle for a relationship that perhaps isn't ideal and settle for someone who isn't of faith. But there's some generic reasons as to people, why people do that. Just explain that for us a bit.
Yeah, I think for women, the overwhelming kind of concept would be loneliness, just loneliness, just pure loneliness, the crying of, you know, just sleep night after night. I think another one, though, is also hope. I think women actually have a tremendous capacity to hope that this man that I may need to compromise to, like, win his heart, he'll change. He'll change. And he does believe in God, sort of, you know, like there has got to be a God out there. I think they're the kind of reason. There can be peer pressure, you know, like where all of the girls in a church or a community get married except me. And what's wrong with me? The sense of rejection is quite overwhelming. And I've had numbers of women say that there's just not enough eligible guys. You know, there's too many mummy's boys these days. You know, they take their ironing home to mummy. They're like, what? I could go on and on. But it's a fear of missing out.
Mm.
You know, as you get a little bit older and you come up towards 30 and into your 30s, like, well, I'm going to be on my own if I don't sort of compromise. And it's not really compromise because he's actually quite a nice person. You know, there's a rationalization, but I've got every empathy and sympathy for women in that position because I've actually literally wept with them. I've prayed for them with my wife usually and said, well, you know, let's hold on. Let's look, it's a story that comes from long ago where my wife was in a church in Dunedin, New Zealand. There were seriously six young women in their 20s, mid to late 20s, who were single, and there was no eligible men in that church. It wasn't a small church. There was maybe 180, couple hundred. And so the pastor literally said, I'm going to pray that God will send eligible, godly men to our city. Look, this sounds like a fairy tale, but within 12 months, all six of those women were either married or engaged.
Wow.
I was one of those six who somehow met Moira, my wife. You know, one guy came from America through Dunedin. You know, pastors, I think, if people are part of a church, need to try and, you know, be there for them and pray for them and include them. I think it's a better culture now in terms of women can be leaders. They can be involved, you know, they're not shunned, although some would say, well, you know, I'm a single woman in my 30s and a number of married couples don't really want me to be around in their social circle because I'm perceived as a threat in their relationship. So it's a complicated, multifaceted thing, really.
So moving from that, Brian, to a scenario where, and there's a real scenario I'm referring to, where, you know, a husband and wife are together, and then one of them, in the case I'm referring to, was the husband came to Christ, and so, you know, that left them in inverted commas unequally yoked. What would you suggest in that scenario?
Well, I would agree with what I think you're inferring. It's actually very common over time. And I think it's a massive disappointment. You know, like, how did this happen? It's usually just a subtle thing. Like, oh, you know, we might not go to church as often as we have been or not be so involved. And we don't really need a small group. We've, you know, our family is our church or our work community is more like our church. And they kind of wake up and think, hold on a minute, where's Jesus in this? You know, where is the joy of being connected, the motivation of purpose, which I would put right at the top of a successful relationship? You know, what is our purpose? What is the beyond meeting our own needs or each other's needs? I would say, and I've had to do this done it on a number of times, is just be a godly person. You know, be a godly person. Let's say we're talking about a lady, for example, where the guy is now drinking too much, not coming home from work like he used to in time to help with the kids. He goes to the pub with his mate. This can work both ways. But say, look, what did Jesus do? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And this is a word that's not very common these days. It's not in vogue. But I would say, you know, serve him, serve her. And I don't want to give too much information, but there have been times over the years where Maura and I together have said to a woman, how's your physical relationship? Oh, well, it's not that good. And we've actually literally said with gentleness and warmth and kindness, give him great sex. What? But he needs to shape up. He doesn't behave well. Well, are you serving him? Are you, you know, and this goes both ways. I'm not just saying for the woman. Let's say, you know, this even like just be there for him in that physical arena. And if you don't withhold, but give, and obviously with mutual satisfaction, that can be like a key that unlocks a guy's heart.
Mm.
Like, well, she's got these church friends, but she still likes a good time with me. Wow. But of course, it can be food. It can be all kinds of things. I think there are seasons in life where a little bit of compromise is okay. And when it comes to things like the children start to grow up and they've got competitive sport, and it's difficult to get to church, you know. This a bit of give and take, I think, is good. And always like, how can I be like Jesus in this situation? It's difficult. It's challenging. I'm sad. I'm a bit lonely. Well, serve that other person. Just serve them. Let your life be beyond, you know, able to accuse or criticize.
Brian, can I then, I suppose, as we get towards the end of the show, and I don't want to run out of time, but can we assume then that, I mean, there's people who, you know, we start as Christians, we get a little way into the marriage, one may fall away, we've got to navigate that, we're not sure how that may work out. There's people that either come into a marriage and one isn't a Christian, and it might be that one comes to faith, and so then we can, that's great. Then, of course, there's that scenario where there's the two kind of opposites at the beginning, and we can make it work because there's enough in there, but there is that, like you started the show by saying, but there is a kind of a sadness, like it's good, but we still haven't met that point where both of us are at faith, right? So we just kind of navigate that. But let's just speak to people listening right now who are in a marriage, right? And it doesn't matter if it's the man or the woman, but one of them isn't of faith. And it's become a bit of a stumbling block in their marriage, right? For whatever reason. It's not even just like, oh, you go and do your own thing and that's okay. It's like it's causing problems in the marriage, right? They don't necessarily want the marriage to end, but they can't get past this point. What advice would you give to people who are in that scenario right now?
Which, as we know, is increasingly common. You know, you would kind of hope that there's some good friends in the scenario. They've walked with Christ, and they've been part of an authentic community of Christians, then hopefully some of your friends will notice what's going on and go out of their way to take, you know, Frank for a drink or play some game or whatever, you know. You know, so to me, it's not just two individuals, potentially, it's a community. It's like living in such a way that your faith is so evident and compelling that it you know, can affect the conscience of that person who's drawing back. And I think it's grace, it's patience, it's certainly prayer, really praying that the Holy Spirit will work in that partner or husband wife's life. I think we underestimate that it's all up to us, but in fact, you know, the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, he works for us and with us. And he responds to prayer. So prayer, listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, what is the key to this, you know, in this instance, to my husband's heart? You know, he loves this world. He might want to go to Bathurst. I can't stand smelly, noisy cars and all that, but maybe I'll go to Bathurst with him. You know, that's just a for sake of argument. But I think it's working out creative ways to show love practically and to demonstrate the gracious spirit of Christ without compromising your own value. It's doable because I've seen it in many people's lives over the years. Not easy, but doable. And it's better if we see ourselves as part of the community, you know, even Father, Son, and Holy Spirit helping us, guiding us, giving us creative ideas, and hopefully a few friends. I can't tell you the number of times I've had women say to me over the years, I wish my husband had a friend like you. You know, I'm embarrassed to say that. I'm not proud or anything. I'm just like, why aren't there more men who can be good friends to these guys who are drifting? And I think, you know, being part of a church where there's a sense of excitement, a sense of uncertainty, is more a Jesus-like church than one where it's just repetitive, religious, always the same. You know, if there's a really vibrant church with great things happening, there's less likelihood of drifting. It still happens, but.
I mean, you mentioned there about getting friends, and perhaps we end on that note, Brian, because our push every week in Momentum is for men particularly to get connected. Women tend to do this more easily, as we all kind of know, but for men to get connected, but not just get connected, to start having conversations and start doing life together. And that does require an area or an air of vulnerability and authenticity, which a lot of men can find confronting. But the benefits of that are absolutely huge, and we would always endorse that. So MomentumAustralia.org is our website. If you want to have a look around our website, you can perhaps find some more ideas around what that might look like for you. If you do need a confidential chat with someone on our care line, that number is 1-800-000-636. And maybe that's marriage related, maybe it's friendship related, maybe it's mental health related or something else related. It doesn't matter. It's more important that you just reach out. And of course, our special guest has been Brian Andrew this week. And I'd love you to check out Brian's website, livehappytogether.com.au, livehappytogether.com.au. And we referenced the Man Book earlier. A great, great resource, guys, to have in your back pocket as you do life together. It touches on all of the key areas of life that we struggle with and then some, and just gives you some really great insight. And that's from our special guest, Brian Andrew. Brian, as always, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. And thank you again for your wisdom and your insight this week.
Hey, thanks so much, Des and Tim. It's been a pleasure, and certainly an emotional thing, just being aware of the pain that is associated with this topic. But there's always hope, always hope.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.